Hello, my loyal listeners. After a long hiatus, you are now once again listening to Indie World on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Steve Lopez, and as usual, we're going to shine a light on local talent and show you guys why we love filming. So all of you guys out there know, hey, we're not that pretentious. And today, like I promised, we're going to delve into the beautiful world of acting. And today, just sit back and relax as my guest talks about how it feels to be one of the very people who will be on the silver screen. She is a transsexual student at Pierce College. This is her first year taking acting courses. She is both self-taught and currently taking those courses to perfect her craft. She is, well, to say something very simple is, she's a very inspiring person who was going out of her way to make a name for herself in a world of very present prejudice against transsexual people. So to say she is just inspiring would undermine the bright future she has. Brooke McGill, everyone.
Thank you for having me.
So, how you feel, Brooke?
Feeling just fine and dandy.
Okay, so to just get it into us, how would you just introduce yourself as an actress?
I like to have fun. I just like to do a lot of different things. I mean, you only live once. I'd like to do a lot of different roles, whether it's horror, real dramatic, comedy, anything like that. I like acting. It's fun.
There's a very, like, textbook definition of acting, which is, I personally laugh at it. It's just someone who takes the role to perform and act. What would you think is a more proper, like, very intricate definition for acting?
Oh, man. It's just performing as a character, I guess. I think either definition is fine.
Now, in a very strange way, a lot of people say when they act, they don't just feel like they're reading lines. They're just becoming this character. Could you tell us about how it feels to act?
I think the most obvious example is method acting, like Daniel Day-Lewis and everything. That's taking it to the extreme, of course. I think whenever you're acting, you definitely do that. In class, we're given roles, and at first it does feel like you're reading lines and stuff, but once you get them down and get into the mannerisms that you put forth, the little verbal tics and everything, and really give personality to the role that you're playing, yeah, you really start to feel like you're that character for a short bit. It's almost I think it can be escapism for some people, and maybe to me as well. It's nice to be able to kind of be somebody else for a couple minutes, you know?
Is there ever, like, could you cite instances where you or other people have acted and after you finish that role, it kind of like has a lasting impact or like kind of bleeds into who you are for like a little bit or maybe even longer?
Of course. My midterm for class, I was playing a like 50s housewife, and that was pretty fun. I mean, it wasn't too in depth. Like, we didn't have any racism or anything, but it was pretty fun. You get to kind of be that person for the day, and you get to dress up. It's like Halloween. It's like Halloween, getting to be another person for a bit.
And even after that, did you like feel that specific character like in you still? Just like, kind of want to like maybe a word you said changed because of that character. You're just like, some mannerisms. Like,
I mean, like I could do it again, and I feel like that's something I could pull out now because I mean I kind of got in that mindset.
When it comes to like getting a role, does it become like very progressive? It's like, okay, I'm getting better at it, or it kind of like comes in naturally as you like understand the character?
A little bit of both. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's as natural as just growing up. You know, when you're growing up, you don't think like, oh, I'm getting older. You're just there. And then I think also you do have some times of like, wow, I've really improved. And you look at past things that you've done and kind of cringe at them. And you're like, wow, I've gotten so much better. So it's definitely a bit of both, for sure.
For people who like either aren't into acting or want to get into acting, how would you describe its like accessibility and somewhat like difficulty?
It's accessible in that you can do it, but it's hard work. I mean, it can be hard work. A lot of the directors that you deal with are kind of be kind of, you know, words that I can't say, etc. It's a difficult industry, but it's easy to get into. It's easy to start if you just have some friends and you want to make some dumb movies. It's accessible, but it's difficult. So, you know, there's kind of a steep learning curve, I guess.
on the subject of, you know, you said like those dumb movies.
Yeah, of course.
Are they literally just fun, or they become more into like this learning experience that you can actually gain from?
Definitely a learning experience. Absolutely. The first short film that I worked on, the director was very freeform with everything. We didn't really have much direction. And the last one that I did with my friends, one of them is Daniel Uhlenberg, another one is Andy Schachter. It was nice to work with them because they were giving me direction on how they wanted me to do things. And while it was, you know, it was just a fun film that we did together, you know, it's still definitely practice, and you can put some meaning into it, and you know, it's definitely not just dumb fun, you know what I mean? It's definitely, I think experience is the best thing you can get. I mean, going to class and actually learning from someone more experienced is definitely important, but I'd say just getting out and doing things that you're passionate about, even if they're just quick or people won't really like them, I think that's so important.
On the topic of like working with Mr. Uhlenberg and Schachter, who are actually hosts of another radio show, surprisingly.
Wait, guests or hosts?
Host.
Yeah. I know.
How does it feel working with people you know, like friends?
So nice. So nice. It's really nice. At least right now, it's nice when you're not doing something for money or like when it's not high stress. I feel like if you're doing something that is going to be high stress, then you might not want to do it with people who you really like because it kind of gets a little bit sour. But working with them was just really fun. I had a great couple of days.
Now, when it comes to like these bigger jobs or like more corporate, whether they're paid or not, they're like more, I guess you could say, like professional jobs.
Yeah.
Could you still like find enjoyment in it?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think a fun person can find fun in anything, really. I mean, there are going to be those tough days where you have a director who, you know, thinks that they're the king of the world and everything, the great dictator and everything. But, you know, you can always find some enjoyment in yourself and your own acting and stuff, yeah.
And with going along with that, do you think the acting experience itself is different when you're, like, not working with your friends, you're working with, like, these more professional people?
Yes, absolutely. When you're working with friends, it's going to be a lot more relaxed. We're sitting around eating Doritos and stuff in my room, you know, cracking jokes and stuff. But when you're working with people who are being paid to be there, when you're working with, you know, a microphone guy, probably got the title mixed up. I mean, shout out to microphone guys. But when you're working with people who are paid to be there, it's a lot more pressure and you don't want to let people down. You don't want to be goofing off. But when it's just friends where you're just taking some time off to do something for free, it's a lot more relaxed and kind of enjoyable, yeah.
Furthering that, like, since you said it's, like, high-stressed, could you cite, like, times where acting in a role just, like, became a struggle, it was, like, very difficult, or just a lot for you to handle?
I haven't had experience like that yet on an actual set or anything. Like, not on anything that was filmed, but for class, it's been like that. There's definitely some stress in memorizing lines and such, but as far as screen acting, I haven't had that. And I mean, that also lends itself to that screen acting, you don't have to memorize lines as much as you do in theater. So it's mostly been in theater that any stress has happened.
Actually, going on along mm-hmm. with theater, how would you tell people the experience of theater in contrast to working on screen?
Theater is complicated. I'd say that there's like two types, one which I like and one which I really don't. The easiest way I would say it is that I like plays. I don't really like theater. you know, there's what I would call theater with very elevated speech, very, very elevated mannerisms and, you know, big movements and everything. And that's, you know, that's obviously very different from film. That's in a lot of musicals. And then there's more contemporary plays, which I like. It feels a lot more natural. But probably the biggest thing for theater is, like, positioning. And even in the most modern contemporary played-down plays, you're still going to be having to make bigger movements than you would on camera. You know, you have to face out to the audience, stuff like that, and line memorization. Line memorization, you have to remember all of your lines for a play. Like, that's crazy. I mean, it's good to do that for films as well, which is why, even if you do want to be a screen actor, taking theater classes and getting those skills, like line memorization, is really important, because directors won't be fed up with you constantly forgetting lines, as a lot of people who have only ever done screen acting often forget their lines. So I think probably the biggest difference is just line memorization. Yeah.
Now, since you're acquiring skills for line memorization, people who are like, let's say we have aspiring actors listening right now, would you tell them to, like, yeah, definitely go out and try to learn theater? It could really help you.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. You know, at least just get one theater class. Try to get a little bit of experience for that. Even if you are not interested in theater at all, at least just try to, you know, find scripts online. Just try to expand your brain to be able to memorize those things, because it's a learned skill. You know, the more you do it, the more practice you get, the easier it is. So I think that's a definitely invaluable skill.
No, also, since it's like a it's a skill but also like a hobby for you,
mm-hmm.
could you tell us, like, what drove you to go into acting? Well, that's how, you know, you like fun.
Yeah. I guess what drove me into acting, I can't really say. It's kind of one of those subconscious things, you know, you grew up seeing movies and you're like, oh, I want to do that. For a while, I wanted to be a hairdresser for a while, you know, different things. The last thing before this that I was really looking forward to was wardrobing for movies. And I realized, like, oh, I don't just want to put people in those costumes. I want to be wearing the costumes. So, like, what better way to do that than actually be the actor? And, I mean, not to sound like a narcissist or anything, but I like performing. I like people taking pictures of me, recording me. I like that kind of stuff. It's really nice to be able to perform. And as I said earlier, a bit of escapism in that. Being able to be someone else, not you, when you know, want anything but to be you.
Now, with going with escapism, mm-hmm. You've been on another show.
Yeah,
with another host.
Kevin Barcinas.
Yes, yes, and you would talk about your experiences being transsexual.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe that affecting your acting?
It doesn't affect my acting much. Obviously, there's going to be certain roles where I probably either can't do it or definitely won't get picked. I'm probably not going to be getting picked for lead female roles. Anything with, I don't know, nudity that explicitly needs to be biologically female. It's, other than that, really nothing. It doesn't really affect acting. Acting is nice because it's mostly about your skill. And if you have the skill, then you're there. So it doesn't really affect it much at all, I'd say. At least yet. At least yet.
Now, when you hear these stories about, like, some people not getting roles because of their identity, whether being transsexual or some other form of identity, and it's not because of a biological factor or something,
mm-hmm.
Do you ever, like, have a thought of it could be some form of, like, prejudice, or maybe they're just not used to being around people in that way?
Yes. There's definitely two sides to that. There is obviously prejudice, and people will obviously be like, oh, I don't want, you know, some insert slur here, working on my show. People will, you know, not hire based on that kind of thing. But I think something to keep in mind is that acting, the film industry is a difficult industry, and, you know, whether you're gay, straight, cis, transsexual, anything like that, you're gonna be, you know, turned down for a lot of roles, and most likely it's not because of your identity. It's because they just found a better person for the job, nepotism, etc. So, you know, it's just to keep in mind, like, you need to be tough, and you need to be able to handle rejection.
Now, since today we're actually, like, we are in an age of, like, we're progressing more to accepting this stuff, how would you what is your take on the perspective of, if there's a character that's transgender, transsexual, should they be played by people who are that?
Very good question. I've actually thought about this a lot. It depends. So, of course, you know, there's people saying any trans woman character should always be played by a trans woman. No. I think, an exception to that is that if the character is very early on in their transition, then it makes sense for a cis guy to play them. For example, I think Jared Leto did something like that. I know, what's that one?
Eddie Redmayne did a role like that in The Danish Girl.
Yeah, I don't know about that. There was, there's this new show on Amazon, I guess, about some, like, old, you know, a grandparent who's transitioning. I think in that case it makes sense. That would look more like the character than someone who, I mean, to put it in perspective, why would I play someone who's early on in transitioning? Right. So, for different characters, different roles. I mean, different actors. Yeah.
Do you personally see it do you personally feel like this sign of kind of like happiness or like just a good feeling when you do hear about someone who's transgender, transsexual getting a role about that?
Not to sound heartless, but not really. It just doesn't really come into my head. I don't personally put a lot of weight on that kind of stuff. It's another actor. It's not me. Not in that way. you know what I mean. So, they're an actor like anybody else. So.
And we're actually we're in this time of progress. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's a good thing though that we are getting more movies about this Tangerine recently or A Fantastic Woman where these are stories about people who are transitioning and we're really exposing that these people are not, you know, some other species or that they're just people.
Absolutely. I mean, 100%. I do agree with that. I think any sort of media about, you know, a phenomenon or something like that and kind of shedding light on things and making things seem more human to somebody who maybe has never met somebody like that. I mean, making a film can turn, you know, one person into something seen by so many people. And I wouldn't use the word educating, but exposing people to that is nice.
On the topic of media, mm-hmm. Could you, cite any specific actors or people who really just inspire you to act?
So I don't really have many actors. I know it's spicy now, but I used to really Kevin Spacey, but for his acting, obviously. Okay, so I'm not really I never really look at an actress or actor and think oh my god, they're amazing. I do Emily Blunt. She's cool. She's cool.
Is there any not even just with the actors, mm-hmm. but is there a role in a movie that personally just made you go either inspired you or just drove you I gotta reach there, I gotta keep going?
Funny enough, Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights doesn't, you know, not anything like me. But I'd love to do a role like that, play a character like that someday. And I think, that's one of my favorite movies by far. And seeing his role in that as, you know, as a porn star, it was inspiring to me. I would actually say, yeah, that's one of the movies that inspired me to get into acting. And his role in that is something that inspired me, yeah.
And Boogie Nights is also arguably a comedy, and you were actually the film you did with Uhlenberg is a comedy. Do you feel very just at home?
It's
with
kind
comedy?
Of a comedy.
Kind of comedy.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'm not a very funny person, but people say I am. I like to laugh. I've been known to laugh sometimes. I like telling jokes. I like lighthearted things. I really like drama as well, but it's nice to just not take life too seriously, you know, just enjoy yourself. So I think comedy is really nice for that. Yeah.
Earlier you told us you always try to branch out and do different stuff, but is there a certain genre you just feel at home with, or are you just the type to want everything? And if you are the type who's just down for everything, could you just say how it feels to go from genre to genre to genre?
I am the type for everything, 100%. It's hard to say because I haven't been in many things. I don't really have much to show yet. Everything that I've done is still in editing, but I'm really looking forward to everything so far. I've done two, for the most part, the movie is more, the film that I did with Daniel and Andy is more of a drama than a comedy, definitely. And I mean, there was, so far I've only done two dramas, but I'd like to do horror and comedies and anything like that. I guess action movies. I'm not too big on action movies. If it's an action comedy, that's different. I love action comedies.
Speaking of like just action comedy and genres, yeah, in general, what do you think would be like this like goal film that you would want to be in? Like, do you have like a specific role that like one day I want to have a role like this? Like, aside from like the Boogie Nights related role.
Okay, well, I was gonna say the Boogie Nights role. In terms of like action comedy,
any genre, like,
So there's this movie with Jason Statham called Crank and Crank 2, right? I see you smiling. Yeah, that's I would love to do something really wild like that, really really crazy, real energetic like that. Love it.
Now,
real electric, if I can go that far.
I guess so. Speaking of that, like how films are very like, they're very formless. There's never like a set path. Films must be this.
Yeah.
How do you? Because you previously told me about your art, your like pursuit of more art house type of films. Could you just go into that a little bit?
That's mostly because of as we kind of mentioned earlier, I think the whole like corporate type of atmosphere. A lot of movies, a lot of the big blockbusters these days, they're written by committee. They're written to sell well. All these kinds of things, and I think art house movies have less interference with the creator's artistic vision, and they can be about things that aren't so sensational and aren't, you know, big captivating and everything. You can tell a nice story about something that's important to you without so much, you know, advertiser and sponsor interference. So I definitely like to do stuff like that for sure. I mean, you know, like A24, I think they did. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Is there, because you brought up the topic of like very, you either go for like unconventional films or like you like doing stuff that's kind of like away from the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So could you like tell us instances where you've like kind of tried out stuff that's like away from the norm?
Well, the last thing that I did was, I was excited. I get to be nude in the last one, partially nude. And that was something that I had been wanting to try for a while, and it was rewarding to me emotionally, mentally. I find that kind of thing to be stimulating to me. Not stimulating like that, but that kind of thing, validating for sure. So it was fun.
Now, speaking about that, is there like a form of, not just like what you did, but being in an art house scene, does it just feel very like, I guess you can say free, very just like open?
To an extent, yeah. I mean, even art house movies and stuff are going to have the full crew and everything, and it's still a stressful job, as is any job. There's still money going into it and stuff. But yeah, I think it's nice to be a part of something that you can have passion in. It's not like putting out, you know, the next installment of some kind of lifeless franchise and everything. It's nice to look at something and be like, I did that and I'm proud of it. And, you know, I think maybe the movie is important or, you know, stuff like that. Even if it doesn't sell that well, it's just nice to be a part of something. That's your legacy, you know?
It's actually a really nice note. So would you give us just one lasting statement for our listeners?
Statements. I don't know. Have fun. You only live once. You know, okay. That's all.
So, everybody, I'll give Brooke a little chance to plug herself in.
I guess my Instagram is stripmallmom, STRIPMALL. That's all. It's all my social media. All
right, everyone, go out there and follow this person, because no. Trust me, there is a bright future there.
Great.
And again, thank you so much for coming on this show, Brooke.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that was Indie World on KPC Radio. Again, I'm your host, Steve Lopez. And until next time, I bid you adieu.